So we're all going to die, Adam? Is that the story?
Yep.
And that's it for this week then.
Yep. We're all going to die. Cower in the corner.
Slowly or quickly?
I think it'll be both. Why not both?
At both.
Trump likes to say both.
Ooh.
When he's asked a question and he's given two options that are mutually contradictory, his usual answer is both. Yes.
This week was crazy. Trump Wednesday. It would be nice if China gets involved. Trump Thursday. We've already defeated Iran. As for the Strait of Hormuz, we don't need it. We don't use it. From a military standpoint, they're finished. Friday. We are considering winding down the war. Saturday. Opening the Strait of Hormuz is a simple military maneuver. NATO's a paper tiger without the US. Saturday evening. If Iran doesn't fully open without threat, the Strait of Hormuz within 48 hours from this exact point in time. The United States of America will hit and obliterate their various power plants, starting with the biggest one first.
Yep. That's Trump for you. I don't think he realizes that that art of the deal business can only be taken so far and only works so, you know, for a certain period of time before people start going, just look, screw you, buddy, you know, we're not doing that anymore. And it's him taking the idea of strategic ambiguity to unreasonable lengths, because that's very, very, very ambiguous. I think he didn't really get the idea of strategic ambiguity. Yeah, he just had a blink on it and went, I know what that means.
You're meant to be Captain Vague, not...
Yeah, Captain Obvious about both things, about everything.
Yeah.
I'd say he's not in a... He's not in a good position. I mean, the general perception should be, at least of him, is that he's not in a happy place. He needs to go to his happy place. He's not in his happy place because, strategic ambiguity and Trump's bullshitting and flip flopping and out of the deal and all that aside, it's pretty clear he didn't want this war to be, a long affair. He's got other fish to fry, and he's got, you know, he understood from his first term and since then, I suppose, that there's an unelected bureaucracy in the US, as there is in many countries, that run the government, and there's not much you can do about it. And so, like we've said this before, that I think he just decided at one point that he was going to do what he could with the limited resources available to him and make the most of it and focus on the economy and that kind of stuff. The problem is that the Israelis have had him by the balls for quite a long time, as they've had many other presidents by the balls. It's an open secret, I suppose. It should be in the world, and it certainly is in Washington, D.C., that the Israelis / deep state, again, very hard to separate that out and figure out who's on first there, but you know, it's obviously centered on Israel and on the intelligences in the West, particularly in America. That's the kind of deep state element that you're talking about. That's the unelected bureaucracy that runs the country. They have their own agenda, and they have him by the balls, basically. Probably something as simple as just death threats. He knows Butler last year. He's not that stupid, right? To believe that it was Thomas Crooks.
It's 2 years now.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, how time flies. And seems just like yesterday.
I know.
And so he's in a bind. He wants out. He wanted a quick victory. We won. There you go. You lost. Just admit you lost. And America won. Just say that. Just write a letter saying America won. We lost. Thank you, Donald Trump, for your attention to this matter.
Yeah.
And move on. And we get everything we want. Doesn't work out that way. It all speaks to him not really wanting to do this in the first place, or it not really being his idea, if you know what I mean. And we know that obviously that Israel has had this agenda to take out the last pillar of the resistance to Israel for a long time. They've taken out the other pillars over the past few years since October 7th and 2023.
Yeah.
And they're gunning for Iran, and they don't care. The Israelis don't care. These people, Israelis / deep state, whatever, don't care. Seem to want chaos, seem to want to bring the whole thing down to achieve their maximalist goals. And they're determined to keep Trump in this war, whether he likes it or not. And
the damage to the global economy, be damned. I mean, these course, people yeah. are smart. They know yeah. all about they know all about the implications.
Of course, if the average person does.
Then they're right, yeah. then they do. But they don't care. No. They think they have it sewn up, they'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. There's a very small group of people. They have access to their own oil and their own resources.
Their own armies.
It's probably
Jihad Inc., etc.
Yeah, it's probably viewed as a creative destruction, you know. Break it down and build it back up again, you know. There's an opportunity in every crisis.
Yeah.
And it's all the better if you make the crisis yourself. And that's how you get to seize the opportunity.
And it does make it seem like it's intentional. Again, going back to like some of the, I don't know if they were policy papers or just like papers that were put out saying, you know, if you do these things, this is what's going to happen.
With Persia.
Yes. So all those things that they knew were going to happen and we all knew were going to happen and they did it, it makes you think, well, that's what they wanted to happen.
Yeah.
And that the closing of the strait and the chaos in the energy markets, et cetera, all of this seems to be intentional. Question is why? But that gets into what you were saying about how you create the chaos to try and build something new in the rubble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
It's called creative destruction, right? I think somebody coined that phrase, some politician somewhere, or some think tank somewhere coined that phrase, creative destruction. I mean, it's hard. Obviously, you've got the overt geopolitical goals of Israel to be the hegemon, essentially, in the Middle East. You know, they have America by the balls type thing for quite a long time, but they want control over the Middle East and they want to make the Middle East safe for Israel's power projection. But, you know, you can speculate about some other agenda higher up or something to just engineer some kind of global crisis, you know, something along the lines of COVID, that nature, you know what I mean? That dynamic of a global impact, you know. So the enemy in that respect would be all the peoples of the world type thing, you know, make them all suffer type thing.
Yeah, one wonders if sacrificing Israel is to that
maybe
bigger picture.
Maybe. I mean, everybody and anybody, yeah, the Jews included type thing, you know.
the country is so small.
And they've been hit pretty hard recently. It's interesting, the past few nights, whatever, it's obvious that Israel is either not out of, but seriously rationing their interceptor missiles. They're most likely running low on them, which wouldn't be surprising after 3 weeks or so. After firing off, you know, four or six for every ballistic missile, you're going to run out at some point, right? So that means that Israel starts, there's a certain point, there was always going to be a certain point if this war continued on, that Israel was going to be hit. And American bases and American, you know, basically the targets, Iran's targets were going to be more easily hit because of the lack of interceptors. So that seems to be maybe starting right now, which is why the Iranians are happy to carry on, you know. It's almost like the Iranians are their response, you know, not explicitly, but almost implicitly, their response to Trump talking about, you know, ceasefire, or talking about, not ceasefire, but talking about, you know, wrapping it up and all that kind of stuff. The impression you get from the Iranians is that it's, well, hang on a minute, we're only getting started here. What are you talking about? Where are you going? And Trump's like, no, I won. You lost. It's over. We're leaving.
Yeah.
They're like, look, you just kind of pummeled us sort of for a few weeks there, and we took it, and now you're a bit exhausted, like a, you know, a big fat boxer in a ring or whatever. You've wasted all your energy, and now it's our turn, right? We get the
I think Trump actually said midweek that we won, and them closing the Strait of Hormuz isn't fair.
He did, yeah. He said that's not really fair. Not really fair what they're doing. And it's like, what do you mean it's not fair, dude? All's fair in love and war. Haven't you heard that phrase? Around definitely the way they're talking, and also the fact that they're still firing increasingly destructive missiles at Israel and at different targets in the Middle East. Doesn't seem like they're done.
They've only just started using some of their latest.
Yeah.
Their newest versions of ballistic missiles. They've only just started using them.
Yeah.
And they've said this before, that, you know, all of the stuff that they were using in the first week or two was the vast majority of it from the, you know, 15 years ago production runs.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're saying, like, they have not yet begun to fight,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're still going and they're still rolling out new weapons, it does not seem like they are in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and force.
The crazy thing is that it was undoubtedly, you know, entirely predictable. All of this was absolutely predictable from the get-go, yeah. You know? So it can only have been either coercion and, you know, by the Israelis or by whoever against Trump and the U.S. to get involved in this to this extent. Or just a lot of wishful thinking, maybe, on the Americans' part. At least the way they talk it up as if they're really quite delusional. You know, it's all, we're winning, we won, it's over, and all this kind of stuff. And having to cover up, which is standard for war, but having to cover up losses of personnel, most likely, and aviation assets, and even naval assets. And Israel doing a lot of covering up as well of strikes on their territory and the extent of the damage it shows a vulnerability basically when you do that. Do you know what I mean? When you're not open about it. Iran hasn't made any effort to. It's interesting to draw those two comparisons. There's a few different comparisons between the two that you can draw, but. Iran hasn't covered up, hadn't made an effort to cover up any of its losses or any attacks on its territory or losses of civilian life or military life or military lives. In fact, they've done the opposite in a certain sense, you know. I suppose that's the prerogative of the person that was attacked in the first place, and the aggressor has to pretend. You know, because, you know, there's more, the aggressor has more skin in the game in a certain sense in terms of the optics of it, you know. Because if you go in swinging and say you're going to clean up and beat these bad guys and stuff, you don't really want to look like you've been defeated, that this was a misadventure, that it's all gone wrong, Inspector. So, whereas the person attacked, it's in their interest to highlight how this evil aggressor has been attacking us and killing us and blah, 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 blah. But still, it's a vulnerability, you know. If they were honest about it, they would just, you know, but they're not honest about it. There's nothing honest about war, right? So, and then the question of whether or not Netanyahu, the burning question in many people's minds, of whether Netanyahu is dead. I mean, you know, Khamenei and several others, quite a number of others in the Iranian leadership were taken out, and the Iranians were on the news talking about it and glorifying it in a certain sense, or, you know, they're martyrs, right? So it's a... Mm-hmm. It's a positive thing for them in a sense. But on the other hand, if it's the case that Netanyahu, as many people suspect, has been either injured or maybe even killed, if that's the case, then they've gone to great lengths to hide it, to cover it up, in complete contrast to the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
Again, exposing a kind of vulnerability from the optics point of view, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just the dynamic, I think. It's more than just the standard dynamic in war between aggressor and aggressed, because the Americans and Israelis have made much of their prowess and how they're the civilized mm-hmm. world and their freedom and democracy, and they're the good guys, basically. And any fight they fight is a good fight, and they always win. And, you know, there's a whole history of that, particularly with America. So America is particularly sensitive to being seen as having had its, even part of its ass handed to it,
mm-hmm.
even one cheek and handed to it, or one part of one cheek handed to it, is really beyond the pale for them. So
you could get into kind of the idea of the national gods And the way that, certainly in America, the way that it's drummed into people is that there's like this mythical protection of America.
Because we're good, like, right?
God has bestowed its hand of blessing upon our people because we are so great and righteous and good and holy and whatever. And the Israelis try and drum that up too for themselves. So it's this weird thing where...
American mythos.
Where you can't admit to anything that would sully that or undo that mystique, that air of mystery and untouchability,
or suggest
unrighteousness,
disfavor from said God.
Yes, yeah, or anything that suggests a disfavor with what you've done on behalf of, you know.
Yep, and the Israelis are, you know, the Americans have that national mythos of, you know, being the righteous, exceptional nation, city on a hill, and all that kind of stuff laid onto the nations. Although there's a kind of crossover there with the Israelis.
Yeah,
but the Israelis are different. They're a darker version of that in a sense, because, like, at least in their, because a lot of their national mythos is basically heavily influenced or centers around their religious texts. And kind of central to that is that they're victims, basically, that they'll be hounded and destroyed and be attacked. And this is evidence of how special you are. Like America built up their national mythos as we're special because we win in any conflict and we bestow wonderful things on all the world, freedom and democracy and wealth and all that kind of stuff. The Israelis, that's all supposedly down the line, and after, you know, some kind of Armageddon or something like that, the Israelis are going to rule the world. But up until that point, the evidence that they're the God's chosen people, that God favors them, is that...
missiles will be flying.
Yeah, he allows other people to periodically destroy them. So, not the best God. Wouldn't be my top pick for a God who offers that kind of a deal. You know, I'd certainly, if I had to choose, I'd go with the one that says, you know... you're blessed by God because you bestow...
In the here and now.
Yeah, and because you bestow all sorts of wonderful things on the world, like, thing, and, you know. And then the couple of days ago, Diego Garcia, that's an obvious attempt, just getting back to what we were saying before, that's an obvious attempt. Iranians denied that there were any missiles fired at Diego Garcia. Two supposedly fired, one didn't get there, the other one kind of was shot down, maybe, or... You know, anyway, they weren't very effective, but the media has made a lot of noise about that. The US government, the Israeli government in particular, Netanyahu, supposedly today talking about it, and the media, and all over social media and the mainstream media talking about that attack on Diego Garcia. Something that's very, you know, something stands out about it because it's very innocuous in a certain sense, except for the hay that can be made from it. You know, it's like two dodgy missiles didn't get there. Who cares if Iran fired it? Well, everybody should care, because this now shows that Iran has medium-range intercontinental ballistic missiles that can reach Europe. Therefore, Europe, you need to be very, very concerned. So it's a very crass and obvious propaganda attempt by the warring parties, probably the Israelis in particular, to try and rope in the annoyingly passive Europeans, at least from the American and Israeli perspective, that they're not just passive, but, you know, increasingly outspoken against what's going on.
Even the Guardian was doubtful. Their headline: Iran reportedly fires missiles towards UK base in Diego Garcia.
Yeah.
I mean, they would never do that before.
No.
They'd be like, oh, good, we're in the war. Good, lads, right, let's go. When they want distance.
Well, not the Guardian, though. The Guardian, I suppose, would always be
the anti-war, I guess.
Right. Well, although on the other side, CNN, right? Democrat, anti-Trump and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe there's particulars. Scott Jennings, CNN, right? Scott Jennings, CNN. America's favorite pundit, he calls himself. He posted about it, was that today? Yeah, I think earlier on today. Post from OSN Defender, talking about the attack on the missiles at Diego Garcia. And he says, this is CNN now, so definitely a threat, imminent even. put a nuke on it, and you can see why Trump has been right about this all along. So CNN, who should be anti-Trump and should be anti this war, and to a large extent have been
skeptical.
Skeptical, at least, but they haven't been making hay with it in the same way they would have done
with Iraq.
So there's basically CNN anchor jumping on that bullshit story that Iran fired missiles 4,000 kilometers away or something to Diego Garcia, which Iran has actually officially denied that they didn't fire any missiles towards there, probably because they don't have ones that can reach there.
Yeah.
Because that's officially the...
I believe Iran for this basic reason. This would be a major scoop for them, right? Oh my God, they're more powerful than we thought. Yeah. So that's a big up.
That's our new missile.
Yet they're denying it.
Yeah.
So now, I think we've said this before, but I would look back now on the last 3 weeks and just as a working hypothesis, go with the occasions when they denied responsibility
and assume
and check, have a look at what they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Attacks on.
So the first time a Saudi
based
oil site was hit, maybe not the refinery at Aramco, wherever, I think the Iranians denied. And then in hindsight now, since day one, who's doing that? Someone who wants this war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wants to inflame the whole region, get all the Gulf countries involved, get them anti-Iran, basically, because obviously the dynamic here is that the US/Israel attack on Iran has already caused and has the potential to cause even greater misfortune for these Gulf states. Yeah. If it gets out of control, they're the ones who will lose
everything,
perhaps the biggest, right? So... aware of that, the Israelis and the Americans aware of that want to get them, get their blood up type thing, make them feel like they're being attacked. Like, because that sounds like ultimately, like the Gulf countries would ultimately be against, maybe not publicly, but privately would be against the war in Iran because of the implications it has for them. So one way to get around that is to attack them and blame Iran. Show that Iran is just this wild kind of like a, you know, blow everything up.
When in fact, the only actor that's actually like that is
Israelis particularly.
Because they have, and this goes into something that we can, you know, circle back to later on. Joe Kent, in his interview with Tucker Carlson, detailed the way that Iran has responded to everything, including the 12-day war last year, has been matching the escalation. They're not, you know, like all of these people say, they're crazy, they're out of their mind, blah blah blah. And if you look at their actual practice, and this is coming from Joe Kent, the former director of
the National Counterterrorism Center,
thank you, he's saying no, they're actually very calculated, they're very thoughtful, and they are very much in control of themselves and the way that they want to control the escalation of things.
Of course,
yeah. And they have a lot of things in reserve as far as escalation goes. And they've hinted and struck things in ways that suggest, you know, they're not just bluffing about the things that they can do, but they don't want to because they don't want to escalate things any further than they have to.
Yeah, because they know that they're exposed in that sense. They don't want it to go beyond a certain point because, and it's kind of like a game of chicken in a certain sense, you know, but realistically neither side wants to go to that point, you know, where you kind of pull the steering wheel off the car and throw it out the window type thing, where you just go full energy infrastructure retard, because Iran would suffer seriously if the US and Israel were to do that. And the US and Israel have not done that so far. There's a kind of red line in a certain sense that's keeping it below a certain threshold. And obviously Iran doesn't want that to initiate that with Gulf State refineries and gas and oil refineries, because they know that the response would be to attack Iran's, and that would be very bad for Iran. So let's keep it below that. It's kind of like, almost like an unspoken agreement. Let's keep it below that threshold. But then you notice that during the week, and it was admitted by Trump that the Israelis just decided of their own volition to go ahead and attack part of the Iran's gas infrastructure, gas yeah, refinery, the Pars, South Pars field, gas field that they...
The world's largest.
Pump. Yeah, well, both of them together, yeah. North and South, shared with Qatar. So, and they have said today, now Trump is... You know, Trump came out during the weekend and said, yes, Israel. What did he say? They lashed out in anger. We didn't know anything about this, and I've told them to stop and don't do that again. So obviously there is that red line that's agreed on. Look, Trump doesn't want to go there. That's just going a bit too far. Because you really would turn the global economy upside down and Trump would be seen as being responsible for it. So he doesn't want that. He's the peace president, remember? Where's my Nobel Peace Prize for destroying the global economy? I don't think there is one for that. So the Israelis want to...
48 hours later, there was the exchange at nuclear sites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Small, but signaled.
Yeah, that was the second time.
Something landed at Bushehr.
That was the second time something had landed at Bushehr. So that had already been tested before, maybe a week and a half ago or so.
Within 12 hours, something lands in Dimona.
Yeah, in the town, in the city.
In the town, not the actual...
Yeah, but as an example of... So it's just Iran warning, look, let's not go too far. Let's keep it below this threshold because there is... You know, you're just going to start a cycle there where everybody loses, you know.
Yeah.
But if you want to know who fired the missiles at Diego Garcia, well, like the first one on the that I saw anyway was the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, the official account on X of the Israeli Defense Forces. Blah, 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 Iran terrorist regime launched, blah, blah. But the main thing is the graphic. And this graphic that has been passed around by the usual suspects over and over again, showing, look, oh, it can hit England, not Wales or Scotland or Ireland, and only a little bit of Spain, most of France except Brittany, but all the rest of Western Europe and Eastern Europe. Poor Africans must be terrified. Jesus, just about 50% almost of Africa there is within range. Russia? Jeez, China?
All of India.
All of India. China could get it in neck too. I mean, by this graphic, I think pretty much the entire world should unite against Iran.
And go free the Strait of Hormuz.
Everybody.
Like tonight.
Well, yeah. And that graphic convinces me. And I hear the messaging from Trump and others that everybody should get on board, all you bunch of lazy bastards, get over there and free the Strait of Hormuz. And why aren't you doing it? And then there's crickets. And then the IDF makes this graphic and says, here's why you should do it. And everybody goes, yeah, but you fired those missiles at Diego Garcia. Is this the game we're playing? Is the game that we're playing here... You say stuff and we all pretend to be retarded. Is that the game?
Oh.
Because like some of their missiles have been capable of this the whole damn time. It's not like they suddenly developed this capability. It's this whole time they have always had this capability.
The Iranians.
Some of their missiles are possible, like because there was the fatwa against doing something that far reaching. And they pulled it back and...
No, that was against nuclear weapons.
But it was also against developing anything that could do intercontinental for this very reason, because they didn't want the world to think of them as a threat.
Is this intercontinental, though? I think intercontinental in that respect technically means America. I think these would officially be medium-range ballistic missiles, not intercontinental. Because you're not, is Africa another continent? I suppose it is, but nobody cares about it. They're not going to bomb Africa. So that graphic just shows you.
Europe is also a different continent.
No. It's part of the Eurasian continent. Somebody needs to update the continents list on Wikipedia.
But my point stands that they have deliberately, how many specifically said, we are not developing these things. We don't want to develop them to this extent because we don't want the world to see us as radical, crazy terrorists who are threatening anyone. That's not what we're doing. We just want to protect ourselves.
Yeah, but the way you protect yourself is to develop a nuke. So the whole fatwa against nukes is bullshit.
It's stupid.
It's bullshit as well. It was done as a cover, right? And that's so in that sense, you can imagine that I can understand why Israel, who wants to attack and destroy Iran for other reasons, but would use that, and it would be convincing that look, they are developing a nuke. I know Netanyahu wasn't very coherent about it because he just said the same thing for like 2 weeks from a nuke for the last 35 years or so. But it's pretty clear that Iran probably does have a nuke, but the only thing they're missing is the miniaturization tech necessary, we assume, to put it on a missile. That's the hard part. Making a nuke, making a big boy, like the thing that was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, for a country like Iran, is probably done quite a long time ago. But there's not much utility in having one of those on the back of a truck or something like that. You know what I mean? You need to be able to miniaturize it down and put it in a warhead and then have the missiles to use it. But the point is that it's annoying, and I've kind of forgotten about it at this point. I don't even talk about it anymore because it seems so obvious to me. It is obvious, but it still kind of annoys me, but I tend to ignore it. When I hear people talking, which there have been a lot, about Iran's nukes and how, because the implication is same as weapons of mass destruction, but particularly with nukes, when they talk about Iran's going to have a nuke and it's going to threaten the world and all that kind of stuff, they don't explain all that, but the implication is that as soon as Iran gets some kind of a nuke that they can use, that they will use it. Which is just, it's just like, it's that game where you say something stupid and I pretend that it's smart, and, you know, I act like a retard, like I don't want two brain cells to rub together. Because, like, the obvious history of nuclear weapons for the past, whatever, 80, 90 years, whatever, is that the countries that have them all acquired them in order to make themselves immune to being attacked in any significant way by other powers. So nuclear weapons are and have always been defensive in nature, and they've worked very well. That's why North Korea isn't invaded. That's why they leave.
That's why the US and Russia never had a hot war for 50 years.
That's why they leave that fat kid alone and stuff, even though they talk smack about him, because they have nukes. So obviously Iran would want to acquire a nuke for that same purpose, to stop the US and Israel doing what they have been doing for the past 3 weeks. If they had a nuke, they wouldn't be able to do that. So that's obviously why Iran would want nukes, not to use them. No country acquires nukes to use them. They acquire them to be able to defend themselves or give themselves a significant amount of immunity from that kind of attack. So it just annoys me when I keep hearing the talking heads, the pundits, usual pundits and politicians and stuff, talk about Iran's nukes. Without, like I said, without saying it explicitly, but leaving it implied that we have to stop Iran getting a nuke because they would immediately use it and blow up the world.
Yeah.
Blow up Israel. I mean, that's been the thing, right? Blow up Israel. But of course, we know Israel has maybe 300-400 nukes. So not only are you suggesting that Iran wants a nuke in order to immediately use it against Israel, but that Iran also wants its own country destroyed by Israeli nukes, which is what would happen. So Iran would, you know, develop one or two nukes or three or four or five nukes, whatever number you want to put on, and would shoot them at Israel. And then as soon as that would be detected, that a nuclear attack had been, a nuclear bomb had been detonated in Israel, Israel would launch 100 nuclear weapons at Iran, and there would be no more Iran. So you have to assume then that the Iranians actually want to destroy themselves and their own country and most of their population. Yeah. So that's all implied, that's all inherent in that ridiculous, retarded argument. And it's something that, like, you know, even a village idiot would look at you a bit, look at you a bit queer if you came across with that argument.
Yeah,
you know? But it's what passes for intellectual assessment of geopolitics, let's say. So it's just...
The part that worries me is the is that they might actually believe Iran does not have any nukes and or the means of delivering them to Israel, and that Israel, if this goes on and it becomes existential, would use them offensively.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think they because do. I think they do.
For 40 years, they've been saying this.
And I think they do believe.
They do tend to project what they're going to do. They have a pattern of doing that.
I think they do know, and they're probably correct, that Iran doesn't have nukes or essentially a means of delivering them effectively.
Yeah.
So in that
hence
sense,
the urgency.
In that sense, it doesn't have nukes. So they know that, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't, that they really wouldn't still try and use nukes if... The Israelis would contemplate, seriously contemplate, nuking Iran maybe you know, in a limited way, if that's even possible, in response to significant Iranian destruction via conventional of Israel by conventional means. Mm. So yeah, that is a danger.
But that reaches the point of a threat to the Iranian regime, which they've said they will take as the ultimate escalation up the escalation ladder, and good freaking luck after that. Because even though they don't have nukes...
Well, no, but even before that, we don't even have to talk about Israel nuking Iran. But if they attack Iranian oil and gas infrastructure, then Iran will destroy all of the infrastructure in the Gulf states and Israel.
Haifa's refinery, there's no question about it now. It was definitively hit this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clear on fire daytime footage. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got the Diego Garcia incident. Trump, in a sense, throwing Israel under the bus and saying, basically apologizing, sorry about that, Qatar. Iran did that because Israel went first and hit their gas refinery in the South Pars field. Hmm. Here's another little datum. For me, this just definitely clarified it. I now assign high probability to what we suspected the last 3 weeks, that the Israelis / deep state are up to shit, trying to inflame, deepen, keep this going harder, stronger, faster. So yesterday in Jerusalem, if you scroll down, the Times of Israel, people have probably seen the footage. There's some CCTV footage of something incoming and hitting part of the old city in Jerusalem. Completely against the grain, they've got someone who just happened to have a telescopic lens and could capture the object as it hit. This is the same Israel that completely banned and censored, where possible, all and any incoming Iranian. But they made sure this photo mm-hmm. went around the world of something hitting the old city, which Netanyahu, on camera yesterday, was at pains to point out, was targeted all three of the monotheistic religions, because Al-Aqsa Mosque is just down the road. It's right next to the Wailing Wall in the middle of Old City of Jerusalem, which we know the Iranians revere as Al-Quds. Mm-hmm. They have named entire forces and parts of their government after the holy city of Al-Quds. And we're invited to believe the Iranians deliberately did that on Eid, the day marking the last day of Ramadan. Hmm. So that for me was like, right, that's definitely another instance of this third force, which let's assume it was Israel.
Yeah, you're suggesting that wasn't that missile, that warhead there wasn't
Iranian.
So-called warhead wasn't Iranian, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, very possible. I mean, that's the problem here is that, you know, the Israelis have a long history of, and the Americans too have a long history of attacking
their own people,
attacking themselves, or in one way or another, playing both sides against the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, in order to manage the conflict. You know, you know, when the propaganda and the messaging is going against you, you know, well, try and turn it around and make your enemy look bad by doing something in their name. It's not rocket science, right? So
it's missile science.
It's missile science. Well, technically it is rocket science. So yeah, and what do we think about Netanyahu? Is he
alive, dead?
Alive and dead.
You've given us some thought.
I keep leaning towards him not being dead, because we're not that lucky. Something such a good
is thing. Iran that accurate?
Is Iran that maybe?
What do you say on based on the past 3 weeks?
I would say they have the possibility of being that accurate, but again, I just don't expect that such good things to happen in our world.
The only way that would have happened would be by Russian Chinese intel.
But the thing Hezbollah that keeps bringing
had
me
drone
back,
footage showing that they knew where what office Netanyahu was meeting in several years ago. I think they showed that off. The drone was actually up and outside.
But you know, timing and consistency and that kind of stuff. You know, to be able to take them out. You know, it's not just a one-off You know what I mean?
Chance
to track his movements and all that kind of stuff.
It's just the fact
you have
that
to know
all
he's going to be
things.
There for a long enough period of time and all that kind of stuff. You know, yeah. You're talking about, you know, thousands of kilometers away.
Yeah,
prepping a missile, launching it, and oh, he left. Why? Because we told you he was there 6 hours ago. It took you 6 hours to launch a missile, and now he's gone. You know, so that kind of like the ability to do that is, if that's what happened, then I'd say it has to be someone with a bigger state intelligence, you know, on the ground intelligence as well. And they might have seen it. The Russians, the Chinese might have seen it as fair game, since, you know, they'd taken out Khomeini and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, why not? The Iranians asked for it, then I don't see why they wouldn't give it, you know, especially since, you know, I'm thinking mostly about the Russians, given that the Ukrainians and in league with the CIA and the Brits basically a few months ago there had a go at assassinating Putin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, the Israelis are, and the Americans and Ukraine are all part of the same gang. So I don't think the Russians would have balked at providing that kind of information to the Iranians if they offered it, you know.
I would normally say, like, so I keep wanting to say that we're not so lucky, but it's the fact that they keep putting out these videos of him that are bizarre.
Mm.
There's something off about him, about the videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I, and, yeah. And canceling his meetings. And so all of these things keep lining up that, like, just basically, you know, force you to entertain the notion.
Yeah, there's something. It wasn't invented out of nothing, right? It wasn't made up out of a thin air type thing. There's a reason why people have come up with that. It's almost old news now in a certain sense. But like, he was out today, Netanyahu, right? At the sites that were hit last night, Dimona and Ardin, whatever the name of the city is. If you just go full screen on that, if you can, I'll have a look at it.
If you want proof that Iran endangers the entire world, the last 48 hours have given it. In the last 48 hours, Iran targeted a civilian area. They're doing that as a mass murder weapon. Luckily, no one was killed, but that's due to luck. Not their intention. Their intention is to murder civilians. Second, they fired on Jerusalem right next to the holy sites of the three monotheistic faiths, the Western Wall, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And by dint of a miracle, again, none of them were hurt. But they were targeting the holy sites of the three major monotheistic religions. Third, they fired an intercontinental ballistic missile on Diego Garcia. That's 4,000 kilometers. I've been warning all the time. They have now the capacity to reach deep into Europe. They already have fired on European country.
Right, that's enough, because we're not really interested in what he's saying. Because they have everyone on their sides, yes. So he's repeating all the talking points that we just mentioned there, the propaganda as to, you know.
I don't know, lads. I've seen the same clip, but film from the cameraman to the right of Fox News guys. So that's not the only footage angle. I've seen it further right. A camera. Mm.
Well, see, you have to doubt a lot of things here. And all the footage of him on his walkabout today is similar to this in different places. He doesn't meet any civilians, obvious civilians, right? He doesn't talk to anybody, probably because they're not very happy with him, right? So he wouldn't want to do that anyway, but he doesn't go up and meet any civilians. Everybody around him is all part of his entourage. There are people in the background in other videos, maybe in this one, but there's obviously people looking behind him. That's always for security in case some Iranian pops up out of a bowl of rice or something like that and pops him. A bowl of hummus, sorry. But even you can see in other videos, like even further in the background, there's another guy, you know, maybe, you know, 30, 40 meters away, you know, like keeping people away, let's say. So he looks very real, but the problem, and you've got a Fox News microphone, is that Fox News or is that just, I can buy one of those on Amazon, just so you know. My point is that while you can say this, he's alive, because there's nothing you can see there really that suggests that it's AI or that it's fake or whatever. The problem is that you wouldn't. With modern AI, especially in the hands of state agents of a state who have access to the best of the best type thing, you can do this kind of thing without anybody knowing anything different. Mm-hmm. And the way it's done is that it's not that the whole thing is AI. His face is AI. That's it. What you do is you go, you get someone roughly his size, roughly maybe a similar voice, not similar voice, but you know, similar timbre of voice, whatever, but that's not even necessary. And you just do the face swap. And the face swaps are perfect. You've probably seen them. There's plenty of websites or where you can do that. And it's pretty impressive even for the consumer. So you wouldn't know. That could very easily be some other Israeli official. Mm-hmm. And all the people around there, even somebody who might catch a glimpse of him and of this person in real life, what are they going to know? It could be just another really official giving an interview. There's probably many of them around talking to cameras on a day like today after these strikes last night or any other day. So someone walking past, if you were walking past this, you looked over, you saw, oh, there's, I can't even remember his name. Oh, that's that guy. That Israeli politician giving an interview. Another one, you know, you wouldn't think twice about it. Oh. Until you go home and see, if you see this and realize, hang on a minute.
But that was Bibi.
No, but then you go, well, who pays that much attention to it? Mm. Did you memorize every single person? Because in your mind, you would say, well, I saw what's-his-face given an interview at that location today. And now I'm at home and I see Bibi giving an interview at that location. But
I missed him.
Is there anything strange about that? They're all coming to the same locations of missile strikes.
Maybe so, I just happened to miss Bibi.
Well, I missed him. Well, it's been going on all day. I was there for 5 minutes. I saw that some dude there. How can I imagine it was me? How could I differentiate between what I saw in real life, unless I memorized every single person around him and listened to every word he said, and then went back and saw that it was some Israeli politician, and then I would have to go back home, watch this video of Netanyahu, and say, "Hang on a minute, I was there." At that time, there's no timestamp on it. I was there at that time today, and I memorized every single one of those people, and I listened to every single word Bibi said, or every single word that the really politician I saw said. And now I'm back at home, and I remember every single person and where they were standing, and I remember every single word that that really politician said, and I can confirm that what I'm seeing with the face of Bibi here was actually said by someone else. It's a tall order, no?
Yeah.
Ask anybody to do that. So I'm just saying this is how you can get away with it, basically, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's just a supposition. What I'm saying is that the technology exists to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Technology absolutely exists, even for non-professionals.
Iran's been using it to
troll them.
Troll them,
of course. But I mean, even to walk out, like you can walk out, you can get with proper software and all that kind of stuff. You can have anybody walk out with you with a camera and film them, and you're filming the scene and all the people and all that kind of stuff. And you can put anybody else's face on it you want, and nobody will know.
The riskiest thing, then, I would say, is depending on how many.
So it's not about
international reporters we're with. And assuming that is an American Fox News reporter, were with them, and they thought they were interviewing Minister Shlomo something. Mm. And then they see what their own studios put out later, and they go, what?
But well, what again, I don't know who's interviewing
the chain
them.
And then the chain of command says, no, you're wrong, don't talk about it.
Well, yeah, keep secrets, but then how long?
Oh, they're not even there. Like I said, I don't know if that's Fox News actually interviewed him, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's on Fox News or whatever, but, you know, the thing is, it'd be very easy to bring people into this as well for national security. Mm-hmm. Does Fox News love Israel? Yes. So they're going to go along with it, right? National security, Israeli national security, American national security requires.
Does Mike Huckabee love Benjamin Netanyahu?
Yeah.
Yes. More than his own wife.
Yes. Literally.
Literally.
Do you want to contribute to the war effort? Yeah. So put this out there, you know. So the point is, it could be either of those two things. I'm just saying it's absolutely possible to do a face swap and have somebody else. So that would allow for the fact that BB could be dead and this is somebody else or injured or incapacitated in some way. But it's basically a 50-50. You have no evidence one way or the other. You can conclude both at this point. AI is such that when you watch a video like this, you can say that could be someone else or that could actually be BB. So it's completely equal in terms of being able to give a probability to it. It's 50-50, except the context in which it's happening and the evidence that we have that there's something going on with, like you mentioned, with other AI, other videos of Netanyahu that are suggestive of some kind of a manipulation going on that isn't necessary if BB is in full health with all five fingers.
The missing ring.
That would then weight your conclusion, given that this can be done perfectly, a face swap, it would weight you towards, I'm not saying 100% or anything like it, but you would be weighted towards saying that it's
possible.
If I have to bet on it, that I would probably put some money, whatever money, on it not being him because of the context. Mm-hmm. And the context is, obviously there's the green screeny type things that have been going on, his walk around and the disappearing ring mm-hmm. on a few occasions, little things, you know, that point to the video being manipulated. I'll just put this, we'll just put this up just to go through it. It shouldn't take too long. Just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. So I just posted this yesterday because I just went back and looked at the presser he gave on the 19th, which was 3 days ago. So Netanyahu gave a virtual press conference March 19th. The Times of Israel announced that this was to be a televised statement by Netanyahu, followed by a virtual press conference with foreign reporters. So all of the videos you saw of that press conference made it obvious that it was that Netanyahu was virtual. He was on it's that typical screen he's used over and over again. It's got these two super shiny, super perfect Israeli flags and this mm-hmm. backcloth, and it looks very much like the background you would put on your Zoom calls or something like that, that kind of a background that people use all the time, right?
Yeah.
A fake background behind you, green screen. So the video there, that's what I'm talking about there. If you just click on that picture on the left, you can see what I'm talking about. It's super shiny. It's just too perfect. It looks exactly like that. And if you go to the next one, the right one, that just shows you that the Times of Israel announced that Netanyahu would give a televised statement by virtual press conference with foreign reporters. Okay, so just go to the next one down below then. And during the press conference, so he started off his press conference, he goes, he talks in Hebrew for a little while, then he breaks into goes into English, and then he takes questions from reporters. And the videos you see of this press conference, you see it like in that picture below where there's a dividing line that reinforces the idea that it was virtual, right? BB's mm-hmm. on a screen, and this guy who happens to be the
CNN
Jeremy Diamond reporter is talking in the direction to his left there from our perspective, and you assume he's watching a screen. There's BB's on a screen. They're all sitting there in this press room watching a screen and hearing BB talk, and then he's asking him questions, and the video's divided to make it clear that the guy on the right there is in an actual room that you can see with other people, and BB is in he's in a room for sure, but his background is fake because it's virtual. So then just going to the next one. The weird thing is, so this is the way the presser started with this green screen picture, but then after about 10 minutes of just a static image of that, if you play it there, you'll see that it goes to BB walking into the room, touching the, and then boom. So if you just go back to that for a second, go back a little bit. So he walks in, real podium, boom, then switches to fake.
Except that's a different hand position.
Well, you'd have to scrutinize it a lot. But then It's super. So that's the room that the journalists are in. That's a real podium that's in that room. But you don't see what's behind them. They cut it to show you what's behind them. Because just before it cuts there, if you just go back 1 second, just to his left there, they don't show it. There's probably a screen there. Unless this is archive footage of another time he walked into this room.
Oh, well, hang on. There's a bit of blue there. That looks like a blue curtain.
Well, that's a curtain, but there can be a screen there, you know, because if you let it play, it just switches. Yeah. That's not a continuation. That's not a continuous shot there, right?
Yeah, he didn't.
That's then switching the camera, switching to the virtual screen. And it's just this standard screen, which is weird because... And this was released, I don't know who released it first, but it was on the Israeli Prime Minister's Facebook page, was live streamed on there. And like I said, it was announced that this was going to be a virtual press conference. So why would they go to the effort of trying to make it look like it wasn't virtual? Because they just showed him walking into the room with the reporters. He's not in the room with the reporters officially. Mm-hmm. But then this cut to this green screen makes it clear that, he's not in the room because that's not the background. Because that's a fake background. That's a green screen background. Anyway, if you just go on down then, the next one, again, almost to, how long is that? Yeah, just play that one.
You move this slide as well.
Thank you. Final question from Jeremy Diamond at CNN.
Mr. Prime Minister Jeremy Diamond, CNN. Nice to see you. You've assassinated Iran's supreme leader and dozens of others.
Okay. So the woman says, and final question from Jeremy Bowen from CNN, Jeremy Diamond from CNN. Again, announcing it, who's she announcing it to? It's almost like she's announcing it to as if the two of them are in the room type thing, you know? That woman, is she in that room or is she in Netanyahu's room? Where is she? You know what I mean? Who knows? But again, you notice that it's done in this video is done with a split screen, right?
Yeah.
That is basically, that's the way all of the other questions the reporters were done were. It was just a reporter on the right and then Netanyahu in his remote location, as per the official statement that it was a virtual conference. You'd have the two, you have the split, like in a split screen on your Zoom call or something like that, with the two people, right? And in different locations. They're not in the same location. Anyway, and then the last one, then, bizarrely, this is only on CNN. So when CNN published their article or their report on this press conference by Netanyahu, I only found it on all other videos on YouTube and Facebook are all don't show this. CNN published this and showed this wide angle shot. And it's kind of long there because it's 2 minutes, whatever it was necessary, but you can play it just to see.
You've assassinated Iran's supreme leader and dozens of other senior Iranian officials. The result of that so far has been the appointment of a new supreme leader considered to be even more hardline than his father. The Iranian regime is not showing any signs of collapse as of now. So I wonder, what do you say to those who say that killing those individuals is in fact empowering the hardliners in Iran? And are you confident that your strategy will still lead to regime change?
I'm not sure who's running Iran right now.
Boom. That's green screen. Why the switch to
green?
If you stop it there. That switched back to the virtual screen. But they just show them in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody didn't get the memo, I think. Because it clearly is a virtual conference, as they announced. But then someone, after the fact, with Netanyahu's seen walking into the room, and you notice that when he walked into the room, you don't see any reporters. There's only the camera is only limited to him coming into the room and going up to the podium, and then it switched to a green screen. But someone decided to put that into the overall production of this press conference, where he walks into the room when he shouldn't be there because it's virtual, and then also this part we just saw where he, I'm assuming they edited him into the left there or something for that initial question by the CNN reporter to show the two of them together and the other reporters in the whole room. And then as soon as Netanyahu answers his question, it switches back to green screen. So that's, for me, like, that's as far as I go. I mean, there's something weird about this. It doesn't make sense. Nobody's been able to explain it to me, what's actually going on here. But there's something very anomalous about all this. And for me, that is as far, that's all I have right now to go on, but it's enough to make me conclude that there is some manipulation involved, has been some manipulation involved. And this is one example, but this is maybe the best example for me of obviously manipulation involved in Netanyahu's image and him appearing in public and him speaking in public. It's being edited, it's being manipulated, it's being messed with. And there's no reason for them to do that. Except one possible reason they would do it would be if it's not really Netanyahu, if they've had to doctor his image and create an AI image of him because he is either incapacitated or dead. And therefore, for me, if I have to make a decision on, if I have to bet on whether or not this, most of the images of him are in one way or another AI, like I said, with him out in the streets with the face swap, I would go with that. I would put my money on that because of this context. Because there is, it's not just, oh, I want him to be dead and therefore everything that Netanyahu, everything I see of Netanyahu is AI just because I want him to be dead. No, it's like, I do have evidence. Because if I didn't have any evidence and it was just people saying, oh, look, his sleeve moved, oh, look, his ring disappeared, maybe, maybe not, that wouldn't be enough for me to say that he's, that it's AI.
Yeah.
But the fact that this, what I just showed you, yeah, shows that there has been manipulation involved in the public image and public press conferences of Netanyahu that are not explainable and there's no reason to do them, no obvious reason to do them, no normal reason to do them.
Yeah.
Except that he may not be.
Including the wrinkle of announcing that it would be virtual when simultaneously, accidentally, maybe showing on CNN that it was in person.
And yeah, and whoever made the video, whoever was in control of actually producing this video to put it out there, the entrance as well into the room. They deliberately filmed or added in, let's say, that short segment of him walking into that room. Now that room is used repeatedly by Netanyahu and other politicians for press conferences.
Yeah.
And has been in the past. So there would be plenty of footage of him
arriving
in that room. And then, like, you saw the cut. As soon as he gets to the podium, puts his hand on the podium, boom. Why not just pan the camera around?
Yeah.
You've just followed him.
It's a tiny room.
You've just followed him come in through the door and touch the podium.
Yeah.
Why not just keep going and settle your camera there? And keep continuing. Like, continue. There's a clear break in it, and it's a jarring break because
they cut to a fixed camera that's in the center of the room at the back
with him with a green screen.
Yeah,
obvious green screen.
Yeah,
there's no green screen behind him in that real room.
Yeah. How long? I mean, okay, go with that. How long could they keep that up?
Not for long.
I mean,
he'd have to have died of natural causes.
I was wondering, maybe they have a backstory. Has he had health issues? He has faced several health issues, including a long-standing heart condition that required a pacemaker in July 2023 and recently underwent prostate removal surgery in December 2024.
What about Iran takes out Netanyahu with an EMP on his pacemaker?
Ooh.
EMP. Yeah.
But maybe,
I don't know, but
not
have to
before
wait.
This war is
be very
solved.
Dodgy to turn around and say, oh, he died of natural causes in sleep in the middle of a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just, would be something. I mean, obviously the media is like, it's all fake news, but people are super suspicious online.
And rightfully so, because
I mean, is he so important, though?
They accuse the Russians are doing all that stuff. Like, how much have you heard over the past couple of years about beware of fake news coming from Russia, where they can make anything look like anything? Even Trump himself said that all of the groups of people in Iran who were there supporting the regime, all of it was 100% AI.
And all their strikes on US bases.
Yep.
So they're already accusing everyone else of doing it.
Right, but not them. They would never do that.
Well, it would fit the pattern. That would say accuse the others of most loudly tends to be what they're doing. And it's gas because the answer he gave in response, we didn't bother playing it because he was asked about what's next with the Iranian regime by Jeremy Diamond. The answer he gave was about his doubts that Khamenei Jr. is even alive.
Yeah.
And there's a big cloud there. We don't know. That's an extra level of chutzpah.
Yeah.
Of projecting, cunning projectiveness. Anyway. Yeah. I wonder what Trump knows, if he's been told. Maybe not.
He probably has been, if it's true.
Would he mind? Would he miss him?
We just wait for Trump to spill the beans then?
Yeah, you'd hope if someone can't keep a secret, it's Donald Trump, and he'll blurt it out somehow. Donald, send a signal.
It has pretty serious implications, you know, this AI business, you know, if it turns out to be true that all these videos of Netanyahu are fake, I don't know in what context they would use it, but it's pretty freaky to consider that they could do that with anybody, you know. But it would only really work if the person wasn't able to stand up and say, actually, that's AI, that wasn't me, you know, I didn't say that, you know.
Yeah.
But it could sow some serious chaos, you know, if they start just having different people say different things. But once the cat's out of the bag, like once you open the door to AI, potential AI face swapping, all that kind of stuff, people just go, look, I'm not believing anything anybody says.
Yeah, people adapt.
They're just, I'm not believing anything. Just turn it off, like.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Someone asked, does it matter if BB is dead or incapacitated?
No, not at all.
Would the war de-escalate if he is?
Yes, most likely.
Hence, keep him alive.
Yeah, that's the only reason. It's because it just would be a blow. It's what we're talking about at the beginning of the show, you know. They're very sensitive. They're very fragile. They've got very fragile egos. And their self-image and their grandiose self-image is quite fragile. So the idea that the Iranians would have been able to target and kill the leader of Israel after Israel targeted and killed their leader was just like, that's not how this is meant to go. This isn't tit for tat. This isn't an equal war. Trump already said it. We won. We obliterated.
Yeah.
We obliterated them with a discombobulator several times over. I mean, we absolutely 110% won. So, like, killing, that's like in wars of the past, you know, where you would target the enemy's king or general or whatever, you know. It has a significant potential for a significant morale blow and just to throw
things
up.
It's like Hitler killing Churchill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not able. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily stop certain wars in a certain sense, but you notice that they put out quite a while ago now about Iran potentially assassinating. They were going to try and put Iran on the hook for Butler. And they've been trying to kill. They've talked about, you know, how Iran's trying to assassinate Trump and all this kind of stuff. And that was put out there because it was, at that time, it was meant to be, if it had transpired that Trump had been killed in Butler, it was going to be blamed on Iran. And then Iran was going to, Nikki Haley or whoever was going to be president, with Trump gone, the whole country was going to be outraged. The Democrats would have suddenly become neocon, yeah. would have become war hawks, and the whole country would have been behind invading Iran. So the killing of Trump in that context, as long as we control it, the whole point is that it's controlled. In that example, it was a stage managed assassination of Trump by the people who wanted to wage war in Iran, and they would have used Trump kind of like 9/11, use Trump to invade and attack Iran, because they control, they're controlling, that's them controlling the situation, they're pushing it in the direction they want to go. When in the case where Israel, Iran takes out Netanyahu, that's not part of our equation. That wasn't planned. That it's no longer under our control here, and we don't want that kind of fallout. We don't want that narrative. We don't want to have to deal with that or narrativize that in any way. It doesn't. There's no way to narrativize it. Basically, it doesn't. It looks. It's bad all the way around. That Iran was able to kill our prime minister, and maybe we shouldn't be. What do you do in that situation? Do the Israeli people rise up in outrage at the death, the assassination of their dear leader? Probably not, given the...
They started it?
Well, probably not, given the massive protests against Netanyahu over the past few years in Israel. Probably not a lot of outpouring of grief or...
But most importantly, the opposite psychological effect. In Iran, it causes focus and determination to engage the war and see it through.
Yeah.
In Israel...
Yeah.
The opposite.
Yeah.
The US too. I mean, Bibi, whether he's a tool or instrumental, I mean, he's 40 years he's been in the scene.
Yeah.
30 years, 96. Yeah.
So his value is propaganda value in this context. That's why they're keeping, if he's been injured or killed, that's why they're keeping him alive by AI and face swap and stuff, because of the propaganda value. That's all. Which is pretty sad.
It's sad. You'd think they'd take that as a sign.
That's his legacy.
To de-escalate.
That's his legacy. That'll be on his tombstone. He was good for propaganda. He was a good propaganda tool. That's what right on. That's what
he died as he lived, a tool of propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all his value really and was.
The footnote, better than Goebbels.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bigger the lie, the further he went until.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So how long do we have to wait? Well, as long as the war keeps going. So how long is this shit going to go on?
How long is it
you said
go
at the outset, give it a month.
To the end of
and
March.
And we'll make a... Well, we had 3 weeks.
End of March, yeah.
Do we have to wait another week before we say anything inclusive-ish? Okay.
Well, no. I mean... It depends. I mean, I think Trump would love it to end in about a week's time. And he's, as you notice, this week he's been making flip-flopping statements. But I think the dominant line of force anyway, is that he would like it to end.
Yeah.
And that talk about if they don't open the Strait of Hormuz within the next 48 hours, we give him 48 hours today, right? So it's
tomorrow
evening. They've got two days. Or he's going to blow up all of their oil infrastructure and gas infrastructure.
Starting with the biggest.
Starting with, the biggest.
Have you seen Iran's, people are posting maps of the layout. Iran's freaking grid is decentralized. There is no biggest. They all do like 1%, 2%.
Yeah.
There's 400 sites.
Well, there's, yeah. But it would
Israel's, on the other hand, a third of it depends on one spot.
Yeah. But, they obviously don't want that to happen, the Iranians. And Trump can't make good on that threat, because that would lead him into disaster. That would lead him into the situation that he's trying to avoid at all costs. So you can take his claim or his threat, as you can take many of his threats over the past year at least or more, about tariffs and everything else. Trump, it's Trump talking big and carrying a very small stick. Or no stick at all.
But there's also the Marines that are supposed to be
carrying
on the way.
A Diet Coke, huh?
The Marines that are currently on the way to...
Chugging their way over.
Chugging.
Yeah. The possibility there is a desperate attempt to, quote-unquote, reopen the straits by landing a force or several forces of US soldiers on... a few of those different islands, Kerg Island, for example, Kerg Island, and then the bigger one and the smaller one, Keshem Island, close further south and closer to the coast of Iran, and then another one just below it, where they are currently rerouting. They've changed the shipping lane instead of going south of that. It goes in between these two, the big island and the small island, so they can get eyes on. And they're basically allowing ships to pass, some of them paying $2 million a pop.
And how are they enforcing block no one passing through the main section. They're telling them, if you do, we'll shoot on you?
They're telling them, well, Iran gets to tell everybody, where are they going, the street or who's
this? Right, right. So they're saying,
If you want to go anywhere, you go where Iran tells you to go. So they can get eyes on, they can be, it's close by, it puts them through a narrow strait, but still deep enough.
And they can stop and pay at the toll booth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just agree, you know. Well, actually, yeah, it's kind of like, it's like a toll booth.
Sorry, your card fails, sir. Do you have it in yuan?
Yeah, exactly.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, so they want to pay in yuan. I think Japanese tankers reported to have paid in yuan.
Yen. They paid in yen.
Oh, in yen, did they? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The Japanese, but apparently, at least according to...
Anything but dollars, right?
According to Ryan Dawson, who I would believe on this because he lived in Japan for so long, he said that Japan has always paid
in yen. Yen. Okay.
So it's not really the point for them.
Yeah. The point is, this is a way to Iran to gain allies, basically, yeah. You know, to subtly gain allies. Like, you want in, you want to get your oil and get it back out to your country. We can let you do that. Just run it by us, come through and you know, in that way, align yourself with us and do things our way, basically, and get used to doing things our way. Stop paying in dollars, pay in a different currency, and then everything will be fine. And that'll be the process from now on, and you just get used to doing that. So we'll start doing that. And the streets are open for everybody except America and Israel and anybody who is best friends with them. If anybody wants to not be best friends with America and Israel anymore, at least in this context of oil shipments, then just state your case, come and make your application, and we'll see. And then you'll get a green light and you'll go through. So that's what this force is coming, is, you know, booking it across the Indian Ocean or wherever they are, through the Malacca Straits.
I bet they're getting slower in speed every day.
I don't know. And they have to land on those islands.
Somebody clog the toilet fast.
Yeah. They're coming in. Yeah. Or set fire to something. They're coming in. There's amphibious landing ships, basically. So it seems, as of now, anyway, the plan is to try and do that. They would probably try and land at the Bushehr nuclear power plant as well. The problem with that is there's several hundred Russian nationals there, and probably already Russian soldiers there, and they're probably Russians might deploy more there to protect their nationals. Mm-hmm. So you might have a situation where I think that would just be where they wouldn't engage. They'd just stay away from that. If that happens and they get wind that there's Russians there, they'll probably just, they don't want to extend this out.
Do you think
a bigger international incident, you know?
You know, in the lead up to all of this, there was all those transports between Russia and Iran. Do mm-hmm. you think that maybe there were some Russian, like Spetsnaz personnel or something?
For sure, yeah.
Coming along.
Yeah. And along with other stuff, yeah, sure. So that's probably a done deal, and it's probably, if it's attempted, it won't go anywhere. It'll just be another, you know, it'll be another faffo in a certain sense, or just something that doesn't really, you may get some soldiers dead or whatever, but that's irrelevant at this point. You
another,
know what I mean? Like,
another card in the deck to wait the US backing down.
Yeah. Trump having to try and find a way to back down and get out of this. But the further he goes into it, the harder it is to go back. It's like that, my favorite quote from Macbeth, you know, about the further you go into something, the further you are in bloodshed, which is appropriate, the harder it is to go back, you know, the further you commit to it and the more casualties you take, it's harder to justify walking away. And the reason he's not walking away and hasn't walked away before now is because Israel won't let him. Because they'll kill him, kill his family. They'll kill, what's his face, his big tall son.
On that point.
And maybe his son, his other sons. And he knows it.
I've heard that Professor Zhang suggest that, but otherwise it's like wall-to-wall assumption. Even in the alternative media podcast circuit, that is because they have compromat on Trump. It's like doing my head in.
Compromat is like that.
Like Trump, gun him Trump is going to risk the whole world. Massive risks, geopolitical risks, because I think it's what you said. It's much more mafia like. They've said to him, or strongly shown to him, we'll kill not you per se, which a man can overcome and still do the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy survived two assassination attempts. Mm-hmm. But if it was made clear to him, we'll kill your kids and their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But few, no one even like.
Well, why not?
It's Israel.
Well, why not? That's the beginning. Why would people not go there? Like, people go way too far down the line with this complicated compromise and Neptune plans and all kinds of stuff. It's like that whole concept of having leverage over someone started probably at the dawn of human history. And it was someone holding a gun or a club over someone else and saying, if you don't do what I, you know, it's like so ubiquitous. Like, I'll break your legs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay me money. Or I'll break your legs. Okay, I pay you money. Stay in the war, or I break your legs. Okay, I stay in war. Or I'll kill your children, whatever.
The strongest case against there actually being compromat as part of this ability to control Trump, the strongest argument against it is that in Trump's first term, they had to create the Steele dossier.
Yeah.
Out of whole cloth.
Mm-hmm.
They had to come up with a bullshit story about the golden shower with Russian hookers.
Yeah.
That was the only thing they had.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's obvious. I say it has to be stated. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall assumption now. And it's almost ironically what the real holders of the Epstein blackmail, the actual sick stuff, want to see happen. They want to fold Trump in as culpable. He's part of the Epstein class, you see? Mm-hmm. That's why he's like that. It's such a cop-out because, I mean, Russiagate survives two assassination attempts, pushes for Epstein file release, then there's a 180-degree turn. What would cause that? Now it makes sense to me that explicit threats against his family.
Yeah.
And speaking of threats, did you see she's not exactly a senior person, but an IDF spokeswoman made a not so subtle threat about Putin.
Mm. Well, that was a while ago, no?
I think it was last.
We could go on more, no?
March 18. Well, this is when Brazel reported. IDF threatens elimination for Russian leaders who wish Israel ill. And what it was in Moscow, Russian media were warning that traffic cameras in Moscow were vulnerable to the same exploits that Israel reportedly used to monitor Kamenev's residence before assassinating him.
Hmm.
Scroll down there for four paragraphs. And the spokeswoman, who has a Russian name, ironically, Anna Yukolova, has drawn outrage in Moscow after threatening that Russian authorities who, quote, wish Israel ill could be subject to elimination, while suggesting Israel could hack into that very Russian closed CCTV cameras to identify and track targets. Asked by a journalist, a Russian journalist, whether Israel had access to said cameras, she declined to answer directly, but warned that Khamenei's elimination shows our capabilities are serious. She added ominously, I hope Moscow does not wish Israel ill right now. So, I mean...
Shows our capabilities are serious and that no one who wishes us harm will be left aside. And then I hope that Moscow does not wish Israel ill right now. That's the money. That's the money part.
Yeah, I mean,
because talking about Khamenei's elimination shows are capable of a serious, and no one who wishes us harm will be left aside. That by implication implies no one, i.e., everyone. And then following up by saying, "I hope Moscow does not wish us ill," i.e., Moscow will not be left aside.
Yeah. So yeah. Death threats all around.
Well, that's a lot of chutzpah right there. I don't know what this guy's doing. I just saw it. But I think it's good. I think he's the UN. Is he the ambassador to the UN? Anyway, so play it there.
This is... You are shredding the UN Charter with your own hands. Yes, that's what you're doing. Shredding the UN Charter. Shame on you.
some nice theater. It's a nice theater from the Israelis, because they're all retard. Everybody at the UN's a retard, and they need that kind of demonstration to understand what shredding.
I don't think you understand what shredding means, so I'm going to show you
A world's tiniest shredder.
The world's tiniest shredder.
With made by Mossad.
The world's smallest UN charter.
Exploding shredder.
Yes, we have one free for everyone in this room.
Yes. So the guy is saying basically that this is what he was saying, that he was doing that in 2024. And then today, Israel is seeking UN help after Iran bombed its nuclear site city. So they're now going crying to the UN, saying, help us, UN. It's not good. Memes are awesome. Go back to that link, Scotty, will you? And just go down and see if you can see. Scroll down a little bit. Next one. That one. Memes just, you know, picture speaks 1,000 words.
Very good. Meanwhile, Iranian sanctions are lifted.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's something like 14 billion of
they
oil. And it's not just at sea. I think that's just a cover up. They're trying to soft sell it. Basically, the sanctions have been lifted on the sale of Iranian oil and Iran controlled the Strait of Hormuz. So, like, they let whoever they want in, they let in, come and buy our oil first. You stop at our refinery, you stop at Cargill first. Don't be going over the other side there to Saudi. Stay on this side. Get your oil from us, fill up till we're done, and then you can leave. And when we're done, then you can go to Saudi. So take all our oil. So they're banking it right now, thanks to Trump.
It's crazy.
And Trump, this was all. And
this can't be part of the design.
it's ridiculous. He complained about Obama giving them $7 billion, you know, because of the JCPOA, the previous deal under Obama, and supposed to give them $7 billion in frozen assets. But apparently, just the amount of Iranian oil in tankers that are still at sea, that are still quote unquote sanctioned, and we're getting through or whatever, but basically it's like sanctions have been lifted on all those so they can freely move now. They're worth $14 billion for Iran.
Right.
Twice as much as what Obama gave them. Trump is basically giving
just
them
give
now
them $14 billion.
$14 billion. Plus all the rest, as long, because it's 30 days, right? The sanctions are 30 days. So it's free access to Iranian oil for 30 days.
And
beyond, because you're not just, I mean, where's this going? What's going to happen at the end? Are they going to be able to reimpose sanctions after this?
I doubt it, but we'll see.
Well, if he goes ahead with blowing up, maybe the only thing he could do would be blow up Iran's oil infrastructure, basically.
At which point, set it on fire.
At which point Iran blows up
Gulf State
infrastructure.
And at which point you have
no oil.
No oil for anybody.
food riots from here to Timbuktu.
So it's just, it's ridiculous. And it can only be, nobody's that stupid. There has to be some other reason why they've done this. Nobody is that stupid.
The lifting of the sanctions was to reduce.
No, dragging this whole situation. Yeah. Nobody's that stupid that within 3 weeks, this whole situation could have developed in this way and the people who started it did not foresee it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are that stupid. I don't know. But then they're very, very stupid.
I don't think so.
They deserve what they get.
The thing about their...
They've war gamed this since the 90s.
Yeah. The one thing that they... The Kars oil field in Iran that they struck... It reminds me of, or Pars, it reminds me of the strikes on Russia vis-a-vis the Ukraine situation,
mm-hmm.
where Russia just kind of takes it and it doesn't escalate further. But if they wanted to, they could have escalated it. Given that the actual messaging was bullshit, and everyone knows it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. So like the Trump saying that, yeah, it was Israel Netanyahu. He did it of his own accord. We didn't know, even though there's reports that Trump in fact did know and that they did in fact sign off on it, mm-hmm. you know, said all that stuff. It seems to me like the U.S. trying to do as it always does, which is play dirty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's going to take cheap pot shots to try and both hit them where it hurts, but also double backtrack on it to try and keep it below the threshold of escalation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe there will be those things that, you know, peak up above the line, and then they'll walk it back to try and keep it contained.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, you can't trust anything Trump says, but then there's the Israelis who might make good on. You know, Trump might say, "We've got 48 hours, or we're going to blow up their electric grid." Basically, because it's not mm-hmm. just their oil and gas; it's like they would target their actual electrical infrastructure, where it doesn't really matter if you cut oil and gas mm-hmm. if they've blown up all your transformers or all your, you know,
yeah,
substations and all that kind of stuff. You can't use it anyway. So, the Israelis could go ahead and do that. Take Trump at his word. Trump may just be bluffing, but there was, oh, you said you wanted to give them 48 hours? Well, okay, we've set the clock, and when 48 hours is up, we're going to start bombing. Just like you said, Mr. Trump. It's like, no, I was bluffing. Damn you, Israel. Bombing their nuclear power plants. Yeah. Why not? Nuclear disaster, just like Chernobyl. Yeah, go for that. It's all so much bullshit, like, and
it's psychotic.
But I mean, the problem is, it all
hinges on Trump personally being threatened.
Yeah, it's sad. Well, his family, you know. But I'm sure that's happened to other people, and it's like better men have basically turned around and said, you know, I don't know, come out, because obviously one way to deal with that kind of situation, especially in this context, one thing with the mafia, you don't care, but with with Trump and the people that he would be accusing of it, of threatening him in this way, the way around that is to just go public with it. Like,
yeah, so say, Tucker Carlson pretty much asked him to this week.
They threatened me, they threatened my family. If anything happens to my family, this is basically, you know, elements associated with U.S. intelligence agencies in Israel. They're the ones who have been threatening me, and so if anything happens to my family, they're the ones that you should blame. I have left instructions to our military to bomb Israel if that happens, and to also bomb CIA headquarters in Langley. Do something along those lines, you know. That's the way out of that situation if you've got any balls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's a very brave person, Trump, really, to be honest. He's reactive, but he's not. He obviously doesn't have the metal to face down these people. When he could just throw caution to the wind, you know,
yeah.
In that sense, you know.
Because if he did something like that, he would have a lot of support. Like,
right.
He could gain a lot of the political capital that he has lost in going in and doing this. If he were to do something that like that, he would be able to recapture all that political capital quite easily. And he would have a hell of a lot of support from the American people for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it last night about... you know, this particular situation with Trump and, you know, him and his family and probably what's going on there and then lording it over him and all that. And then thinking about Khamenei, and if these reports can be believed, allegedly Larijani told Khamenei before he was killed that they were going to kill him,
mm-hmm.
that the Israelis were going to kill him. And Khamenei said, again, if you can believe it,
mm-hmm.
That how can I ask these people, mm-hmm. ask my soldiers, you know, ask my people to be brave and to fight when I myself am not willing to?
Mm-hmm.
And basically resigned himself to it. And not only that, but then when he told his family about it, again, if you can, you know, this is just what is being reported. When he told his family about this, his family is like, we're not leaving you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's moral courage.
That's in contrast to
American society and American elites both lacking the same courage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. public might if the leaders showed some. He could change. He could really change the United States and therefore the world.
One thing that seems to be afoot is happening in the media anyway is that there's a lot of talk about there's reports coming out, you know, and this is influencing the public perception and stuff, that that it was Israel that pressured the US into this war. You know, there's a story in Bloomberg today that Iran, that Trump made the decision to enter the war, largely under pressure from Israel. And that could be a move to try, and to the extent that Trump has some influence over the media, whatever, to try and, or he's seeding that information, that would be a way to kind of like to turn the table, to turn public opinion against Israel, and in that way maybe try and extricate himself from the conflict without having to risk his life or that of his family. But he obviously doesn't think that he's in a position to just turn around and spill the beans, you know. I think he still thinks he can do it
his way.
He can get out of it his way. Maybe he's a bit too much faith in his own abilities, maybe. So,
well, times are wasting. Israel's all over southern Lebanon. Settlers are rampaging through the West Bank. Talk about pogroms. There's some literal pogroms going on there.
Yep. They're trying to take southern Lebanon, basically.
Laban's bomb.
Destroy all the villages and, well, yeah, exactly. Well,
they bomb the bridges.
Yeah. Bomb bridges.
A buffer zone.
So Lebanon can't get in. But there's a bunch of villages there. They're basically talking about turning into Gaza, you know. They can look like Gaza. And nobody's allowed back, so. Annexing part of Lebanon for security, for Israel security. At what price Israel security? That's the question
the whole
everybody
world
needs to ask. Especially when Israel is compromising its own security and has done since it was created. In fact, the seeds of its own insecurity were baked into the creation of the state of Israel because it was created on the land belonging to other people. Shoo. I think we're going to call it quits there.
Yeah, let's do it. Solved.
We solved that one for this week. There's more to come, obviously, but that's the kind of long and the short of the broad strokes, short of having a crystal ball or like a Palantir, like the Israelis have.
They believe they have it.
They've got it, yeah.
The all-knowing gods.
Yeah. Look into the Palantir and you can see the eye of Mossad staring back at you. The eye of the Jews. Don't look in it. Don't look.
Let's leave it there, will we?
Now we're just getting started. Anyway, yes, we'll leave it there for this week, folks. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week with another one on whatever warmongery type shenanigans have been going on between now and then, of which there will be some, you can be sure. So until then, have a good week. See ya.
See y'all.
So long.
Can't stop the signal now.